Good morning, everyone. I'm going to share a short reflection with you this morning about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God built of small things. So during Jesus' teaching, he talked a lot about the kingdom of God. It seemed to be one of his favourite subjects. So to begin, I'll read this passage, which is up on the screen for us, from Luke 17, 20 to 21, the coming of the kingdom of God. So once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." And you'll notice I've put a footnote on there, as there are different versions of the Bible. And this other version reads, "Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." I think I love how Jesus describes the kingdom of God here. The Pharisees, who held the religious power and prestige of the day, come to Jesus. They want to know when the kingdom of God will start. Their question implies an assumption that the kingdom of God will be an actual geographical place, a tangible kingdom, a physical state, with a power structure, a state with a religious identity. But Jesus replies in a way they perhaps were not expecting. We read Jesus explaining, the kingdom is not here or there. It cannot even be observed, and it cannot be seen. Instead, he describes the kingdom as in our midst, not pinning anything down to a location of any kind of social structure. Some translations have the words, "because the kingdom of God is within you." It's quite a radical idea when you start to think about it. The idea that the kingdom of God cannot be observed as we would a tangible object that can be seen and touched. That the kingdom can somehow be discovered as within us. An inner experience or an encounter. We often say, don't we, that God is with us. We sing it and we remember it at Christmas. But here we read Jesus saying something different. Jesus is saying God is within us. So what is this kingdom of God that Jesus so often talked about like? If it's not a place, or something that can be seen or defined rationally, as it were, how can we come to sort of an understanding of what the kingdom is? Well, we know, don't we, that Jesus used parables to teach. He uses parables, they are metaphorical language. They describe, they confuse. The parables, they prompt us to think for ourselves. They are memorable and nearly always open-ended. The gospel writers say that Jesus never taught anything during his ministry without using parables. And the gospel writers also say that Jesus revealed secrets that had been hidden since the beginning of the world. Maybe Jesus' language of parable, story, and even myth is the only way to express a spiritual truth. We cannot grasp or access spirituality with a pie chart. We can't access spirituality with a list of doctrinal fundamentals, a set of rules or codes or practice. Maybe Jesus knows this. This is why he teaches and expresses via stories that have power to connect us rather than simply give us a belief system to follow. Perhaps Jesus wants to prompt us. He wants us to ask, seek, and knock. If we want to learn, we need to ask in order to receive. Seek in order to find. And we have to knock in order to open doors to hidden places. I love the four simple parables that Jesus uses to explain what the kingdom of God is like. So the first two, from Matthew 13, 31, 34. Next click from my able assistant. My good wife, thank you. So the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet it grows. It is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. And the second two, also in Matthew chapter 13, we could click on, Ange. Thank you. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So in all four parables, we have something very small bringing about a big consequence of some sort or other. The tiny mustard seed becomes a big tree and a home for birds. The yeast is a tiny ingredient, but it is essential for making the dough expand into bread. The small treasure is hidden in a large open space, a field, and the pearl that is found is small, yet it is worth much more than everything else the person who finds it has. All four objects in the parables are small, but despite their size, they all make a big difference. They are the initial cause of some major change or other, a transformation and growth. And another point I think is worth noting, particularly about the parable of the yeast and the mustard seed. Jesus didn't say that the kingdom of God is like the bread. No, he says it's like the yeast, which is the small ingredient that makes the bread. He does not say the kingdom of God is like a tree. He says it's like the tiny seed. In God's kingdom, small things can have great effect. In our faith journey, we do not have to empire build, as the world does, in order to have a big influence. A small act of mercy can be the seed that grows into a giant tree. Just a few kind words could be so precious to someone that they no longer feel captive to worry and anxiety. A simple, selfless act can be a powerful catalyst that changes the dough into bread. We are called to be the kingdom of God wherever we are. We can be the tiny bit of yeast that, when mixed in with the dough, makes the bread complete. So we here at Evesham Baptist Church, we might feel small and insignificant as a group of believers, or we might feel quite unimportant in the grand scheme of things. We might think even that we don't really matter. But perhaps we should take heart at what Jesus teaches here, because it seems that our smallness does not get in the way of God's purposes. Our actions can be the mustard seeds or the yeast that bring change and growth and life. Our tiny efforts to love our neighbour can come from the kingdom of God itself within. And our small actions can have a greater effect than we might realise. Our kingdom acts of kindness and generosity infuse the world around us. They are the yeast that infuses the dough. The dough could be our communities where we live, our place of work, the supermarket, the coffee shop, here in our church community, in our relationships, all our activities and interactions. When the yeast is added, this lump of sticky dough is transformed into bread. And bread, we know, is the food of life. So just to conclude, our first point, the kingdom of God is not an easily definable object. It's unseen. It is, as Jesus says, in our midst, within us. And my second point, really, is God uses our small and seemingly insignificant acts of kindness and love to infuse the world and bring about his purpose for it. We're all invited in this new year to participate with everything that God is already doing. So in a moment, we'll join together and say the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when we ask our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.